The Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge on FUBAR Radio.
That was ABBA.
Good, very good choice, Tom.
Off the Voulez-Vous album. How did you come across that?
I just decided I was going to get into ABBA, but not listen to any of the singles, so I just put a Spotify playlist of all their album tracks together and deleted all the ones I didn't like. And that was my jewel.
I genuinely think that's a great idea. Because like you just said, when the song was playing, so many of the ABBA songs you hear all the time, it's quite nice to actually just hear some of the ones that you don't hear all the time. That's not played on the radio, so...
No, never.
And it's a bloody well-crafted song.
It's a perfect piece of pop disco.
Yeah.
Agreed.
If that's your bag. I personally, it makes me puke.
I've heard some of the stuff you've played on vinyl, and that's better than it.
Well... Okay, thanks, yeah.
You played that Rab C. Nesbitt sort of mildly racist chip shop.
Yeah, but that was meant to be... This is me as the curator of funny novelty records. If I'm trying to get the floor rocking, Ash, then I'll be playing Ultimate Bangers.
Yeah.
Can I just bring you up on the whole mildly offensive thing? That is incorrect. It's completely offensive music.
It has got...
I was shocked by what...
It's got racially insensitive names in it, hasn't it?
Just the casual racism littered liberally throughout that song. And it's all right.
It's also plagiaristic because it totally rips off...
This beat is technotronic.
Technotronic.
Yeah. Oh,
it's a song about... Rab C. Nesbitt sings a song about getting chips.
It's not even Rab C. Nesbitt.
Is it not?
No,
it's the Rab C. Nesbitt fan club.
Whoa. Oh.
And it's inappropriate about...
These chips are chronic.
Gitty fuck.
racially insensitive terms for Chinese people.
Have you heard that the Guns N' Roses song, One in a Million?
Yeah, they got that, because that pushes it.
Whoa!
I don't know it. The bizarre thing is...
I mean, this is a direct quote, so... Should I say it?
Yeah, it's on Sense Radio, you can go for it.
Okay, was it? Quote, immigrants and faggots, they make no sense to me.
Yeah.
They come to our country and spread some fucking disease.
Wow. Yeah.
But isn't that song...
Guys,
that's pretty
calm
bad.
The shit down.
But isn't that a song sort of written in character of an insensitive old racist?
Yeah, Axl Rose.
You know what else he did as well without telling the rest of the band is that one of the tracks on one of his albums was all about how great Charles Manson was.
Oh, it's written by Charles Manson.
Oh, was it?
It was on the Spaghetti Incident and it's Charles Manson's song, and then it was taken off the album, so if you've got it with that on it, it's
worth a bit.
What's that song called? I can't think what that song is.
I have no idea.
Manson, who is your very
look
best
your game
friend?
Look at your game, goo. I think that's it. I think it's by...
It's not Manson, a great record.
Manson
though
was a big songwriter. Yeah, there's albums.
Yeah, well, he was with the Beach Boys. He was friends with
Mike Hubbard.
No, Dennis Wilson.
I spoke about that song about, I don't know how many hours ago, but on the way from Bristol, I spoke about that very song. We were talking about Guns N' Roses. I was with Christian O'Connell, the DJ, and he was
he's a great lover as well.
I'm doing his like tour support at the moment, and he texted me and said like, oh, I want you to come and do this support, and I sent my girlfriend a message and said, oh, Christian O'Connell's asked me to do his tour support, and she went, right, you are not allowed to text him back for 24 hours because you're going to make a prick of yourself if you do. So then we did like the first show together, and we got back from, I think it was like Runcorn or somewhere like that, we got back about 2 or 3 in the morning, and I wanted to say that was lovely, thank you, and I went, love you. Dad.
That's like calling your mum. Teacher mum, isn't it?
I thought I got away with it. And then on the second
night...
Yeah,
you've got to style that out. Love you. Yeah.
Brother.
Yeah.
After the second gig, we got back about 2 o'clock in the morning again. He went, are you going to tell me you love me again, or are we just going to make out?
Oh, I can feel the cringe. I can feel it.
It was awful because I like him.
It would have been brilliant if he turned around and you went, I love you, man.
He touched me.
And then it all got a little bit 50 Shades of Grey in the back of your car. No.
But yeah, we were coming back and we were talking about Guns N' Roses, and I literally mentioned that song. I mentioned that then, which is bizarre. That I've not thought about that song for probably 10 years. We were talking about, because their album, with Chinese Democracy, just sort of sat made for about 15 years, maybe longer. And then all of a sudden, about 3 years ago, they just decided to release it Like,
have you listened all the way through?
No one has. No one's made it through that album. Not one person has ever completed
it. It's a terrible album.
But it wasn't. It's just sat there, and then they went, "Oh, a new album from Guns N' Roses." No, it wasn't. It's been sitting there, festering for 10 years. It's completely out of date. It's an awful album.
Yeah, I think Axl had sort of final say.
Only
but we were saying
only say. Yeah, yeah.
They were. Although they're this huge band, they're one of the biggest bands ever, I'm sure. But they could have been ginormous, couldn't they? But they sort of released. Like, really, I think Appetite for Destruction and the Use Your Illusion albums. And the others aren't great around that, but they toured them non-stop.
There's only three more, including Chinese Democracy.
Chinese Democracy, Spaghetti Incident, and Lies. Yeah, so then...
But Lies was like an outtakes thing, or sort of...
It was two EPs stuck together.
Yeah. But they should have been, conquering.
Yeah,
but they didn't have time. They literally... toured Use Your Illusion for 3.5 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they must have made a lot of money, but they took so many drugs.
Did you know that those two albums make them the only, I think, the only band to occupy the number one and number two in album charts on the week of release?
Wow, that's great.
So straight in at number one, number two. But it was the other way around. Use Illusion 2 was number one, Use Illusion 1 was number two.
It's a better album.
That will send mixed messages back to Axl. Oh, I thought my best work was on the first one. But
well, November Rain's on the first one, but Estranged is on the second.
I'm not a fan of November Rain. So that thing where it's the one that's played, that and Sweet Child of Mine, are played so often, I don't want to hear them anymore. I prefer...
Garden of Eden is my
Dead Horse, I think.
Mr. Brownstone.
Mr. Brownstone, I was about to say. Estranged.
Yeah.
They were good. I met...
Garden of Eden's great.
Civil War.
I met both... Yeah. 14 Duff McKagan. Is he called Duff McKagan?
Duff McKagan. Yeah.
I've met him and Slash.
Have you?
In a studio in LA, yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, I was there with my friend, and his dad is a musician, so he was in the studio.
Oh, okay. You're not going to mention who this person is?
It's Steve Howe from Yes.
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 No, that's what I said.
How?
Who's
on first?
We're suddenly in airplane. Yeah. How?
Who?
Yes. Under. Roger.
Yeah, but Duff seemed like fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't his pancreas explode?
He was drugged up to the max.
He
man.
Said, like, yeah. he got clean when he just... He nearly, like, imploded or exploded or whatever.
Yeah.
Either way, you don't want your lung body organs to do any of those. No.
You don't want any ploding whatsoever.
Me and my mate were just watching, MTV, and he came in and went, "Hey, let's put the Playboy channel on, dude."
He's like, and you're like, "Come on, Duff, give it up, man. You're 50 years old, mate.
He had the exact same voice as Albert Steptoe.
Fucking get back in the hot seat,
I'm
Paul.
Enjoying you seeing in the hot seat. It's I'm nice going, to... Have the lack of responsibility for a few moments.
I really do need to urinate, though.
Do you? You use the ladies.
Oh, I did. I used the ladies.
Yeah, it's just next door.
Did you?
Oh, right, that's a location, not people.
Yeah,
yeah,
don't use the ladies.
No, that's a different kind
of... I used the ladies method as well, and I did sit down.
You did the German method.
Is that what that is?
Well, there's a big debate in Germany at the moment.
How big?
No,
Yes, there is, because of the landlord thing, wasn't it? It's like they have a word for people who stand up to pee. And a landlord has been, in the small claims court, been successful in keeping someone's deposit for discolouring the carpet.
Oh, God, when you say their deposit, do you mean...
Yeah. No.
Can I say that's the worst charity record ever? Stand up for pee.
Tom, you're right, but I think it's the other way around. I think the stander-upper piecer won.
Really?
Yeah. That's what I read. He won. They said, "No, look, it's fine." Judge went, "Look, come on, guys. You know, that's the whole point. You stand up."
Have you ever done that thing though? This is too basic.
It's FUBAR.
Well, the thing is, they've got different loos in Germany. They've got loos with a shelf.
Yeah, the poo shelf.
Oh. Yeah.
It's the continental poo shelf, yeah.
It's not continental, it's German, because the French don't have it.
The Dutch do.
See, yeah, well, but is it? I can't remember what it is, but Zizek...
The French just have a hole in the fucking ground.
Yeah.
Which you squat on.
I've just, because I don't know what you're talking about in terms of what it looks like.
You haven't Googled poo shelf, have you?
No, I've put in German toilet, but the first search it's come up with is German toilets, comma, why, question mark. I don't know why. And then it says
It is bizarre, but I think it's to do with them liking to sort of get enough fibre in their diet and they need to examine their...
Do you ever do that sit-down wee where you haven't tucked things properly into your wee between the toilets?
Oh, mate, God. I'm so glad at last what someone has mentioned that.
What? Oh, gee, that's literally such a pisser.
Oh, yeah, I can see the shelf now.
So is it a flap or is it a shelf?
It's a little shelf.
A ledge.
It's a little ledge.
You bloody toilet ledge. That's what I said when my son went to the toilet for the first time. You toilet ledge.
It's halfway down, and then there's a... The proper bit that you're
familiar
with.
So what, and that gets rinsed off that shelf, is it?
Oh, schlooshed off.
Schlooshed off. That's the German for it.
Yes, schloosh.
You know, schloosh off my coupon. You know, I never expected this show to be highbrow, but this is
Do you want me to make it a little more highbrow?
Yes, please.
Okay, so this is going to be a quote from Slavoj Žižek. Who's the... Slovenian philosopher and cultural theorist.
I was getting confused with absolutely no one else.
Got you.
I've gone to the whole article in the London Review of Books. Let me just see if I can find the exact quote.
Citation needed.
I don't know why you carry those reviews of books around with you, but you always do.
I do.
It's good to know people's opinions.
I like full pockets.
Yeah, that's true. And there's always room in pockets for change, isn't there, Paul?
I believe one or two coins can be stashed there, yes.
You bastards.
Hey, man, we're already a quarter of an hour into this hour.
You can't keep doing this.
You can't.
This is fun. You're doing this for fun.
Okay. Yeah.
No one said that. Let's just point that out now. No one said that.
I think Tom's here with the quote.
All right.
Go on, Tom.
Okay. Should I do the Žižek impression as well? Would that be...
If you can.
If you can, that would be
nice. In a traditional German toilet, the hole into which excrement disappears after we flush is right at the front. So I'll give up on the accent. You know, it's really only pleasant to listen to for a while. He is fascinating. The hole into which excrement disappears after we flush is right at the front, so it is first laid out for us to sniff and inspect for traces of illness. In the typical French toilet, on the contrary, the hole is at the back, i.e. excrement is supposed to disappear as quickly as possible. And finally, the American or Anglo-Saxon toilet presents a synthesis, a mediation between these opposites. The toilet basin is full of water, so the excrement floats in it, visible, but not to be inspected.
Exactly right.
Does it float?
Žižek is right.
Mine is not buoyant.
It depends.
More fibre, mate.
Yeah.
My ploopen ish not buoyant. Ick not buoyant ploopen.
You know, I'm going to Florida on Sunday. And they've got the water table. It's basically a reclaimed swamp, the whole state.
Is that like a waterbed?
No, it's the... No.
Sorry. Maybe, sorry.
Which means that there's not much drainage. You know, there's not... all of the plumbing is very slow, and they've got these sort of whirlpool flushing action, and it takes a good minute and a half for it all to... I don't know. It's just sort of following on for Tom's thing. It's like a whirlpool, and you can inspect it as it goes round, so it's almost like animating it. You can see it from different angles, is it?
Žižek's point was to look at the Hegelian triumvirate of European politics, but sure.
Yeah, I don't know where the America... he's including America in that angle, isn't he?
Mm. Žižek is, yeah.
To expand that slightly, American toilet, like public toilets, they always have a gap down the door, don't they? Why have they got that?
Mate, they're just like... Huge. They're right up there.
You see that it's like knee height... Like you can, because I'm quite tall. I can almost
see
tops of heads along there,
yeah.
And then there's a massive gap down there. So as a little person, child walks in, they can just see you pooing.
Yeah, totally. They're not. You don't feel very much privacy in those those American.
I want to know who this child is who's spying on you poop.
He's everywhere I go. It's not just America. That's what happens when you have kids. Genuinely, I think
they watch you poop.
Yeah. The only time that is your own when you've got children is that time that you're in the toilet. But I think as soon as you press the flush, it's like the door unlocks. My son, as I flush, he'll go, "So, Dad, what's going on?" I said, "Get out of the toilet just 1 minute. Let me be in here for 1 minute."
At least he listens to the flush.
He waits for the flush, but then he'll just walk in and ask a question.
Surely you've locked the toilet. I mean...
No,
you don't have that?
We don't believe in locks.
Oh, good. a lock denier.
Well, I genuinely haven't locked a toilet door in the house for years. I don't know.
It's a trust thing.
Yeah. That maybe you've answered the question. I should lock the door, shouldn't I?
Well, perhaps.
That's probably the best. Yeah, that's the least I could do, really.
What, closing a door?
But then it's also, like, if I'm in the shower, my girlfriend will come in and my son will just come in. It's, just give me some time. I want this room to be the one room I can be alone in.
Well, you just put a sign up saying, leave me alone, daddy poop time.
I shouldn't have to.
Well, then teach your child manners.
There's three toilets in my house.
Yeah.
They find me wherever I go.
Don't you think it's good that your child loves your work?
He's got his own...
And he's interested in everything you produce.
He's got his own bathroom.
Oh, he's fancy kids.
He's got his own bathroom, yet he will hunt me down the one that I'm in. It's really, I don't know why. I don't know why he's obsessed.
Oh, well, kids have a fascination with what their parents do.
Yeah.
I mean, I never personally hounded my dad on the toilet.
He will just happily come.
You've got a special child.
He will just, like, hand an iPad round the toilet door and go, can you put your code in there?
Slip them the door.
I want to download again. Can you put your password in? Leave me alone!
You need to give him the password and just nip that in the bud.
No, because I did that and he was on, like, Candy Crush or something. He spent about 800 quid. Have I told you this?
No.
Oh, it's a disaster. Oh,
seriously, 800 quid?
Yeah, like, literally, I think it was, like, 700-800 quid. And
holy
then he just, like, it popped up and he just kept saying, yeah. Because I downloaded the game. I think it was Candy Crush. And I downloaded the game and then your password is active for 15 minutes. Oh. So then it pops up, like, do you want to, like, buy time or whatever, so he's like, yep, just hit.
So you've stored your bank card details on...
It's on iTunes, so as soon as you put your password in, if you download an app now, even if it's a free app,
yeah,
your password would be for 15 minutes. So he then just sat there, pressing the button, and put up about £700-800 worth of credit on Candy Crush. So then I was like, that is a huge amount of money, and I couldn't be angry with him because it's like he's no concept of what he was
doing.
No,
because it's not clear that that's the rules and regulations of how you know, the freemium.
So I contacted Apple after reading online them saying they will never pay this back. Like, there's 100 stories on there saying, like, that's it, it's too bad. You've read your terms and conditions, you shouldn't have given it to the child. And they sent them by the end of the day, they'd paid it back. And they left the credit on the game.
Wow.
So
that is literally unheard of.
It is ridiculous. Yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, got away with it. And he's now king of Candy Crush.
But on ill-gotten gains.
He's a world champion.
He got to the top using your money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's like steroids.
Yeah, it's the Candy Crush.
He's a Lance Armstrong. Candy Crush.
But he's denied it for years, but it turns out, he's...
He said he'd do it all again.
The minute your back's turned.
Yeah, well, yeah, but it's a... Oh, hello.
It's all right, I am queuing up a song, and unfortunately with YouTube being YouTube, it takes a little bit of a topic.
Stop it.
Stop it. That's it.
Yeah, no, you've got to be careful with iTunes. You will rack up debts.
Yeah, since I got this tablet, I'm not one on apps, and as I got this tablet, and it's been like, I can get loads of great games. But then I've gone to this point now where I have to filter the games I download, because the minute it says, this includes top-up purchases, and it's like, I don't want to get involved in that.
Mm.
It means you're not getting the full game. It means you're getting the game to an extent where it wants you to pay for more. And I'm against it.
You're against business, aren't you?
It's one of the reasons why I won't have kids. I just don't fancy it. Not with my app.
Well, I
thought you were going to say that they're a freemium purchase.
Well, you could argue they are, aren't they? You don't cost much to produce, but you do pay for them for the rest of your life.
Tell me about it.
Now, because this is the thing. Okay, so my parents had me when they were 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by the time they were my age, I was 16, mm-hmm. which is weird for me to think, considering my maturity and behaviour. So when you had your kid,
mm-hmm.
what was that like for you? And I'm not, weird, because I say I'm looking forward to having kids with my girlfriend. We're all talking about getting serious and stuff, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'm at that age now where I can. And then
it's brilliant. He's absolutely fantastic. I was 27, I think, and he's been great.
Yeah,
he's good. He's a good lad.
Yeah,
I like him. We're mates.
That's good.
Yeah, he's good. But he cost £80,000 within his first year. He destroyed our house.
How so?
He blew it to smithereens.
I've never heard this story.
He put an aerosol can on the oven
That will do it.
And then, I'd gone to football, and my partner at the time was his mum was at work, and so she'd left some shopping by the side of the oven. He took a 150ml can of air freshener, popped it on the hob, turned the hob on to one. He's only 1 year old, so just walking at this point.
Yeah.
The babysitter had gone to the fridge to get some milk. And then she sort of gave him the milk. They went out of the room. She heard a noise, went back into the kitchen, and it was the can had expanded and fallen off the hob. And as she sort of didn't see anything, she turned around, it exploded, the can, and the pressure of the gas, the expansion of the gas, made a fireball. But that blew the front and the back. We're in mid-terrace. And so the walls in between are like double thick brick walls, and it blew the front and the back of the house, separated it from the house. All the windows blew out, the plaster and all the ceilings fell out, it snapped the loft hatch in half. So my mate phoned me up. My mate was
That's
the
a powerful fucking aerosol.
150 mil. So kid, it's the size of a can of Lynx.
He's going to turn up to be MacGyver.
So you follow me on Facebook.
Yeah,
you follow me on Facebook.
I follow you all the time.
There's pictures on there of the damage. But my mate phoned me up because I just got to the football, and he said, "Oh, the glass has blown out in your oven." And I went, "Oh, well, that sometimes happens. Just don't go in there. I'll sort it out when I get home." He went, "Okay." And then so then about 30 seconds later, my phone rang again. He went, "No, you're going to have to come home." So I went back there. The fire brigade were there and all this stuff. And I just always remember from his bedroom, from the boy's bedroom, you could see into the bathroom next door where the house had separated, the kitchen below, and the dining room below as well, because it's completely separated off the house.
Unfathomable destruction.
£86,000 worth of damage.
Fucking hell. Are you still paying that now?
No, because we were insured.
Okay.
We'd made two payments to the insurance company at that point.
We paid
something like 30 quid in insurance.
Wow.
And it was 86 grand.
So
the house looked delicious afterwards. It was incredible.
You got the DIY SOS people to come in.
Honestly, we were out for 6 months while they rebuilt it. We were in a rented house for 6 months while they rebuilt it, and but it was done, like, because they give you, it's like the flooring, they'll go, like, you've got £20 a metre to refloor your house.
Mm.
And that's a lot of money for flooring. Because you go, well, like we had like laminate flooring, like that would affect laminate flooring.
Mm.
It's about £12 a metre or something. And they then just give you the difference. So they go, right, we'll pay you £20 a metre. You then buy the stuff, or you tell the builder and they buy the stuff. And then they give you the cheque for the extra. It's bizarre. It's just the best thing that ever happened.
Right, on that note, let's have a little bit of musical break. This is Tom Jones, one of my favourite hits.
The Lonely One.
The Geekatorium 27-Hour Podcast Challenge on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, it's 5:30 a.m. We're deep into our 27-hour podathon. And I'm going to take a nap.
Pussy.
I'm going to take a little nap. I get one nap, and I'm going to do it now while it's less busy and before the people turn up. So
okay.
I'm going to hand it over now to Ash and Eli to banter as best as possible. And if you need any help, our lovely assistants are outside, glamorous assistants, ready to chip in and do whatever. Are you all good then?
What about the song?
Let's pick a song for
Why
you.
Why don't you sing a song now, Paul, for us?
You've lost that love and feeling.
Oh, no, don't. Please don't.
I went on stage once and did that like for about 2 minutes at the top of a show, and then the audience it got to the point where they're like, "What are you doing? Why are you doing that?" And then I was like, "Imagine if I thought that's what this was." Just
yeah, that would be good. It'd be like, "Oh, it's like one of those old shows from the 70s. He's a song and dance man."
Yeah, no, dreadful, dreadful thing. That was in Braintree as well, so that's, you know.
All right, well, pick a song now, mate. Pick a song off the top of your head. Or you can play a vinyl if you want.
I'll play a vinyl.
All right, good.
Oh, I like that.
But not right now. You have to play the jingle on the hour. So if you play a song, do it after the jingle or well before, all right?
This is entertaining.
I have to do the admin live because it's non-stop.
Well, hang on.
How do you know? How do we know? We might be full of. You might miss a really exciting guest in the next half an hour.
I'm prepared to take that choice.
You're prepared to take that choice.
Yeah.
I think you should, because you just didn't make any sense with that sentence.
Write it down. I'm prepared to
make that.
Imagine
that. The All speech right. function's gone. All right. So what do I? How do I start the song?
You can just—it's the bit on. So all you got to do is just play it through the vinyl player, and it will come straight through.
Just play it.
I wonder if Joseph's still listening.
What wasn't he going to turn up?
Yeah, but it's been a bit complicated.
He said he was with a girl, so there's
he's such a desperate for sex, always.
Yeah, he is disgustingly horn-dogged up.
Is he?
Yeah, but he's young and foolish.
Well, if they're both listening,
have a great time, guys.
That'll just start coming through.
Joe, try it now. Just try it now. Just
no, I'm not going to try it now.
No, but it's on. It's all on. So all we've got to do is play it, all right?
And then what? What do I do for the jingle?
Look, if you want
to
play,
you don't get to see behind the curtain very often with live.
If you press
radio
one or two,
I do enjoy.
One or two will play.
Which one should I play?
Two. It's a bit longer. It gives you time to have a sob.
Fine.
All right.
In the headphones.
And Joseph, if you're listening, just
relax. Get it on. Within some sexy songs and some sexy words.
What words?
I can't be arsed. He's had enough from me. Right. I'm having a nap. See you in a bit.
I imagine Joseph is listening, and I like to imagine him there, maybe naked, with a lady friend.
With the baby oil.
What kind of date is it if you are listening to FUBAR Radio at 5:30 in the morning?
It's not a good date.
It's not. That goes down as a bad date for me.
Well,
not the FUBAR part. Obviously, that's awesome. But
just
I mean,
the fact they're two together.
Yeah. If you go, yeah, I really, this has been a lovely date. Do you want to come back to mine? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Just so you know, we're going to be up until at least 6 a.m. listening to some guys I know. Talk just randomly
about just random stuff.
Anything. I mean, it was quite high. But I mean, I've been here. What time did I get here? 2. I spoke to a wrestler in that time. I've been here just a few hours, and we spoke to a wrestler.
I know, that was my dark moment of the soul then when the wrestler came up.
Because none of us knew what we were talking about. That was the fear.
I couldn't handle it.
You clammed up. I was
clammed up. I clammed right up.
I thought you were getting like aggressive that like you were going to offer him out, but you
no.
Like,
well.
You could have had him, I reckon.
I've seen the picture, and I think you're right.
I reckon you'd take him down.
I'd go for the little low centre of gravity advantage.
Go for the knees.
Yeah, I'd bite his knees. Bite his knees. Oh, Paul's back.
Why is Paul gone?
I don't know, he's back for some reason.
He can't.
Oh, no, he's gone. Oh, he's gone. He's gone for a nap.
He couldn't operate the door, unfortunately, for him. No, I think so. That's got, and then we started talking about conspiracy theories, and then that got shot down in flames because Paul took us off air, didn't he?
He said
we've got to talk about something else.
That was a bit suspect.
It was a bit, because where did that come from? He just literally went, "Yeah, we'll talk about conspiracy theories in the next after
and then
the
we
break."
Didn't.
We still haven't.
We still haven't.
And all we're doing now is talking about it. I feel like I can't talk about it
because what it'll come, it'll wake him up.
He'll know. There'll be. He's got like a. Did you see that red flashing light he had in his wrist?
Yeah.
That just every time we mention something about a conspiracy theory.
No, I've got to stop this.
They've got to play ABBA for some reason. Do you feel? Because I felt after we listened to ABBA, cleansed. You
did
know,
you?
Like something like a little bit like my brain had been washed.
ABBA would be a good place to hide brain cleansing noises.
I reckon that is in there because it was a long track. Tom Tuck all of a sudden showed up out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Said play ABBA. We played ABBA. We stopped talking about conspiracy theories.
And then he fucked off.
And suddenly I feel like the government isn't behind everything.
No, they're definitely not. They're quite benevolent.
Yeah, but I think only ABBA has made me think that. It's the A, the two B's and the A. That's what it is. it's
like a mirror.
Yeah, it's flattened your brain. It's taken out the conspiracy theory.
I'll tell you a story about Joe Wilson, right?
If you're listening, Joe.
So once we had a gig, Comedy Cafe.
Yeah.
And we all did quite well, I think. And he got chatting to some ladies. And I was quite drunk. He was chatting to some ladies. And I was like, Joe, give me a lift home, yeah? He drives. Give me a lift home, Joe. And he said, yeah, sure, but I'm going to give these girls a lift as well. Fine. Did he give me a lift home? No. We went back to this girl's house. One of these girls was quite attractive. The other one was fucking huge, man. And not that that's, you know, that's your thing. That's fine, and you know. But she was huge. She had her breast pierced. But not like the nipples.
Wow.
The top of her breasts.
Oh, that's horrible.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like bars in the top of her breasts, like.
Like optics.
Yeah.
Basically. No, not bars. Sorry, different bar. Sorry.
No, just like silver rods. Yeah.
So now she knows, if she's listening, she knows it's definitely her. Because it's not you.
She's not listening.
No.
She's not listening.
Because at the end of this story, we left her in a ditch.
No, we went back to her mate's house.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, Joe, I need to go home. No, he's like, OK, just for a few minutes. Go back to her mate's house. Her mate has a cat, a kitten with a broken leg in a box that is constantly mewling and meowing, constantly.
Yes!
An injured cat.
Has it been to the vets?
Yeah. Kind of thing. It's,
yeah.
That's why it's in the box. She's keeping it in the box.
Yeah.
You know, because it can probably cause itself some more damage.
Because it's mewling. Yeah.
It's, then, I'm like, this is fucking me off. I don't want to be here. And the girl goes, oh, come on, calm down. The one that he's trying to bone goes, calm down, Eli. You know, I've got some ecstasy. Okay.
Oh, that'll sort it.
Yeah. And so I think I'll snort half of an ecstasy pill. That's what I don't do that. Listeners, I don't do that these days at all. So I think I'll just snort half an ecstasy pill. Fine, I crush it up on the top of the right. chopping board in her kitchen, and I snort it all up, and I realise that she's been chopping garlic there.
Jesus Christ!
Right. So I've got this overwhelming pain from this pill, which you get if you snort pills, which I wouldn't recommend to anyone.
Bad idea.
And also this...
garlicky smell.
Really, but it's like not like a smell, it's inside my nose.
Like a tasty smell.
Yeah, yeah. Really overwhelming. And it hurts. And by this time, Joe has gone upstairs with the girl and is boning her loudly. I'm stuck down with the tit-pierced girl, and she starts talking to me about how she won a blowjob competition. And kind of coming on to me, I was just like, I don't know.
That is the worst kind of competition.
That's not a competition you want to win.
Who wins in that? No one wins in that. No one's winning in a blowjob competition.
Mate, she was like,
The men aren't winning.
She was like, I've given gay guys blowjobs and they say I'm the best and they're the best at it because they're gay.
I don't think a blowjob competition is the way forward for any person.
I don't think getting your top of your breast pierced is either.
I think the kind of person that's getting the top of their breast pierced is the kind of person that's going to win a blowjob competition.
Yeah, probably. We've got a profile of this person building up now.
She takes ecstasy up her nose.
No, she didn't. It was just me. I was like, God, give me something. Help me through this. Meanwhile, I can hear Joe literally taking a run up. You know what I mean?
You know what? I'm surprised. I didn't think Joe had that in him.
He's obsessed.
Is he?
He's obsessed with Nookie.
He's a monster.
Yeah, he just never shuts up about it. It's really boring.
Do you think he's got an illness?
Yeah.
We can say this because we're friends.
It's dyslexic. Is that an illness?
No. Don't think so.
No, anyway, yeah, he's, you know, good on him. What, he's a young buck, he wants to spread his wild oats.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
All the time.
But not when he says to me, I'll give you a lift home.
So
what he meant is, I'm going to try and bone this girl, I don't give a shit about
you. How did you get home? That's the most important
thing. I had to wait for him to stop boning her, and then give us a lift. Like 3 hours later. With the cat going, yeah, the whole time. This
is like a weird sort of
film. It was a nightmare.
It is like a film where, you know, a drugs-induced film. Did you ever used to watch those films on Channel 4? It'd be like 2 in the morning. You remember, like, Girl on a Motorcycle? Have you seen that film?
Yeah, I love
where you watch it for like 2 hours and you're like, I don't know what's happening, but I know it's sexy. You know what I mean? I don't know why. But I was like 14 or whatever.
Avant-garde tit films.
And it's
brilliant.
There's nothing happening. She unzips it slightly. She zips it up slightly. She gets on the motorbike. She gets on. All I know is at 14 years old, that was the horniest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, but you watch it and it is like you're kind of got this weird, you're sleep deprived because you're 14 years old and it's 3 a.m. And that's what I feel about that story. It's very much, it's got that about it.
It was a magical time when TV used to actually be on, and that was it. It was on, and you had to watch it then, or that was it.
Does that film still exist even?
Oh, definitely, yeah.
What a bizarre thing.
That's one of the famous ones.
Yeah, but there was... I mean, I've watched loads. I remember... Because Channel 4, they just stick anything on, didn't they?
Yeah, sort of soft porn, avant-garde sort of
things. Wicker Man, Girl on a Motorcycle.
No, Wicker Man's a classic.
Yeah, but that would be on at that sort of time as well. There'd be ones where it'd be people looking at art and then it'd be woman's breasts and then it'd be them in a field and then it'd be them on a mountain. I could never work out what was going on. I just
Jump cutting.
Like, I just knew that I liked it. I couldn't work out why.
Yeah, so anyway, I kind of hate Joe for that.
And I wonder, yeah, but you've stayed with him. You've stayed friends.
Yes.
But never forgiven him.
I'll never forgive him for that.
I remember a friend of mine, you know that age where you're in your sort of teens, late teens or whatever, and you're just, you are desperately looking. We went to a club where I live, and this sort of, I say older woman, but I think she was 30, and that seems sad now because I'm mid-30s. And then she said, she took my friend home, and so he was like, you know, get to the promised land or whatever. Got back to her, she was like, oh, be careful, be quiet, because the babysitter's with my kids in that room, so be quiet. Whatever happened, he'd never managed to do the deed. And then he had to then pretend to go to sleep. Because
her kids got up.
He wanted to escape, so that he sort of pretended to go to sleep, wait for her to fall asleep, and then he had to escape out of her house. He grabbed his clothes together, couldn't put them on, so he snuck out the house naked. As he opened the front door, the milkman was delivering the milk, just laughing his head off to my naked friend trying to get dressed. My friend's like, "Oh, where's the train station?" So the milkman sort of directed him to the train station. About 3 hours later, my mate's still wandering around in the arse end of Southend looking for a train station.
That's terrible.
It's
a similar sort of thing to that. I was stuck there. You know, I didn't know where I was. It was freezing cold. I had to smell garlic, listen to a cat scream, listen to Joe bone a girl, and also listen to how this woman had won blowjob competitions.
I think it's horrible that you just had to stay there.
Terrible.
You should have... I don't know what you could have done.
I could have left.
You could have left.
Really. I could have left.
It's one of those things. I remember being at parties as a teenager and just like going, I hate everything about this, but I can't leave.
Yeah, you still hang out.
Because my friends would be furious if I left. But
house
now,
parties.
And then you get into your 20s. Yeah, house parties are the worst. I hate them. And then you get to your 20s.
You're just like, this is it. I'm out.
I'm done.
Fuck you guys. I'm out.
I don't care anymore.
Fucking hell.
Where's Ash gone? No, don't know.
Yeah, he's gone home.
He left.
That's
I don't know where
it's
he
shit
went.
Shit party. I can't blame him.
I hated it. I remember seeing someone pull a sofa out sick and then pull the sofa over the top of it. House party. I just imagine that kid's parents coming home and just going, what is that smell? There's vomit under the sofa.
That's terrible. I mean, you know, at least those parties, you know, there to be some damage done. But now, in the age of Facebook, people's places get completely wrecked.
Like 5,000 people turning up to a house party.
That's ridiculous.
That's mad. Do you see that? You ever see that Australian kid where his house got destroyed and then they sort of got him on the news and tried to make him apologise for it?
He was so unapologetic.
He's like, no, I'm not going to apologise. No, don't you think you should apologise? He was like, no, it was a good party. It's like, good on you. Like, obviously, he should apologise.
Yeah,
he's like,
you know.
And why should he do it to Fox News or whoever it was that phoned him out? He's like, no, it was a good party. Everyone's saying it was a good party.
Yeah.
And they're trying to make him like an idiot, going like, take your sunglasses off. And he went, no. Take your hat off. Don't you think you should take your hat off? No.
No, fuck you, Fox News.
No, why should I? It was a great party and now I'm a legend.
Yeah.
I bet he's still having parties. I'd love to know what that kid's up to now.
Well, he's not having parties in his parents' house anymore.
No, I doubt it. Yeah, I never did anything like that. I was really good. If my parents went away and they said, like, you're allowed two friends over, I only ever had two friends over. I was good.
Yeah,
I was a good boy.
You didn't go free house. Woo-hoo.
I remember once my parents went away and my brother was still living at home. I was probably about 20. I'd not quite moved out. And I went and I was sleeping upstairs in my parents' room, which is in the top of the house while they were away. I think what happened was my granddad was living with us or was staying with us. He was in my room. So I'd gone up to their room. My brother texted me and said, like, wooden bed, wooden floor, keep it down. Can't believe you're having sex in mum and dad's bed. I wasn't. I don't know what...
He was hallucinating.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not. I wish I was, but I'm not.
I'm probably just turning over or something. It must have been one of those amplified sort of situations.
I can't imagine what he must have had to hear the other times. But yeah, no, that's... God, no, I never did anything. I was so well behaved. My parents got away so luckily with me as a son.
Yeah.
The worst thing that happened was, I remember my parents went away. I was on my own. It's probably one of the first times I've been left home alone, like 18 or whatever. And genuinely looking through a catalogue, not in any kind of dirty way, and I spilt some orange juice on the bra page. I genuinely wasn't using it for anything.
That sounds like such a lie.
Yeah, no, I know.
Even you telling me now.
So I would say the truth, but I spilt some orange juice on it, and then I panicked, so I tore that page out, and it's like incriminating myself.
Yeah, that makes it worse.
I then couldn't throw it away in case, like, of course my parents would go down the bins when they got home, so I folded it up and put it under my bed, right? And about 6 months later, my mate was round, had to get something, like, looking under my bed for something, went, what's this?
Just like, right, it's a sticky
bra
page.
You will never believe this story. It is orange juice, and it's a total accident. I'm so sensitive.
That's terrible, man. You should have had a wank. Fuck it.
I wish I had now. But I had. I also had like some football magazine, and do you remember Joe Guest?
Yes.
Yeah,
of course
the model.
I remember.
Yeah. Of course, I remember.
I haven't thought of her for years.
She, I had a there was a picture of her in the football magazine. I think her boobs might have been out, and I coloured them in with felt tip. And then I got embarrassed. Like, what now? If they see that, they'll go, "Why has he done that?" So again, I tore that out and hid it.
Did you go to the fridge, get some orange juice, just pour it on, just in case?
I coloured in her boobs with felt tip. I tore it out and then poked it under the shed. To hide it. I was like, and then I just imagine my dad finding that years later. What would he think of his son? Just hiding pictures of naked women he coloured in.
That's a serial killer.
You wouldn't be surprised if they go, yeah, he killed 8 people.
Yeah.
But the signs were there when
he coloured in Joe Guest's breasts.
Yeah, well.
Red. Was it red?
It was black.
Oh, that's even worse.
Yeah, it was. Oh, God.
The void.
The joke. I imagine there was a void. I imagine there's a void in her career now.
Yeah, I mean, literally haven't even thought of her for years and years, but she was a big deal, wasn't she?
Yeah, see, I don't know, like, because I remember her being sort of the most erotic woman that existed at that time, in the 90s. I don't think she really did anything really that dirty. I don't remember. She wasn't a porn star, was she?
No, glamour model.
So it was just boobs. Yeah. Just boobs.
Boobs and panties.
But I remember her being incredible. Where does she go? How does that stop?
It's the cruel world we live in. You get to a certain age and you can't be a glamour model anymore, you know.
But so she didn't have transferable skills, is that what you're saying?
Probably not. I mean, who can blame her?
I don't remember what she did some presenting, didn't she?
Yeah.
Because there's her, Kathy Lloyd. Kathy Lloyd, she was one. Who else?
There were others, weren't there?
I remember my mate...
Amanda de Cadenet?
Oh, my goodness. Well done. I remember my mate had a video, a Kathy Lloyd video, but when I say video, it was... He had recorded... Do you remember when Sky used to, like, at midnight, you'd get 10 minutes of...
The free view.
And then it went to a fuzzy screen, but you could still hear. There'd still be the audio. So he had a Kathy Lloyd, like... A full tape of Kathy Lloyd, but you couldn't see her, you could just hear her and watch Grey Fuzz. And he had that. It's like, that is the most depressing wank you're ever going to have.
That is.
It's just an audio of Kathy Lloyd. Imagine that on your iPod. This is audible.
Audio wank. Well, some people like the audio stuff, don't they?
I don't know.
That's
where
you get sex lines.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And my mate, I hope he's not listening, I'm sure he'd be
in
he was dating a Babe Station girl quite recently.
Oh, that's good.
No, it's not. It's really not. She was, like, using him as a booty call, which is bizarre. But he, when she was really vocal, when they were having sex, she'd be really, like playing it up, and he said it was really off-putting because he knew he wasn't that good at having sex.
She's
like, "Oh, it's so big, it's so big." And he's like, "I know it's not. You know it's not. Don't."
That's
you know.
Weird.
Yeah, and
that's weird.
Like every time they're having sex, did she do that thing where she waggles her head and goes, "Call me,"
while she's in bed with him. Yeah.
So then he, they split up, and she became an escort.
Really?
This is all like in the last few weeks.
Wow.
She's become an escort, so she's selling herself now.
Got to make a living somehow, don't you?
Yeah, I don't think that's the way. There's a real... They, like, literally, she was making a fortune on, like, webcams and stuff like that. And he was like, I don't think I like this. I don't think it was ever going to last. It's a weird old thing, but...
Well, some guys, obviously, can deal with that.
Yeah, well, because at that point, no one else is touching her in any way.
No.
Yeah, I couldn't do that.
No, absolutely not.
I couldn't be a babe station model.
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it.
I mean, they've asked me.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, man, you said I've
got higher things to think about.
You're very principled, aren't you?
I'm very principled. I wouldn't do that.
You wouldn't lower yourself to that?
No. It would have to be a classy shoot.
Satin.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Red ties.
Throw pillows. you kind of just got in the position of one of those girls.
I think that's not fair. That's not fair, Ash, is it? Really?
I don't like it. I find it uncomfortable if you... say you accidentally click onto one of those channels and there's two girls and it's like they don't know that each other's there. I find that very uncomfortable.
What do you mean?
Sometimes there'll be two of them on the same screen. They're clearly next to each other. But they're not acknowledging that each... I mean, I will watch that. I'll happily turn that on because I think it's hilarious. Yeah. I saw one once and one of the girls had her arm in a plaster cast. It's like, take a fucking day off.
Jesus.
Take a day off. It was a pink plaster cast.
Well, like, I guess maybe some guy, you know...
Maybe that's a thing.
Yeah. Well, maybe they got a lot of requests. Like, I want to see her in a plaster cast.
And, oh, that could be...
Was it a pink one, did you
say?
Yeah,
it was pink, yeah.
Pink plaster cast.
There was, I think David O'Doherty tells this story where a friend of his, she had like some, I don't know if it's some photo sharing website where you can see how many people have viewed that photo. And one of her pictures, so all of her pictures had like 10, 12 views. And then that had one which had like 10,000 views. And she didn't know what it was, and somehow she traced these views, and it was on a sneeze porn website. So it's a picture of her mid-sneeze, and there's porn for that. There's porn for people watching.
That's just too weird.
Yeah, I don't know. But, yeah, so this poor girl, unbeknownst to her, is now, you know, famous. 10,000 people have
sneezing.
Seen it.
Sneezing?
Yeah. Why would you want to watch that?
Fucking weird.
There's something for everyone out there.
But that's just like sneezing. I mean, it's just...
There's nothing sexual.
Is there cough porn? You know what I mean? Is there clearing your throat porn?
Bet there is.
Is there like, oh, I've got an itch porn?
Itch porn? Itch porn?
You know what I mean? Is there sort of like, I think
there is for everything.
There's a porn for anything you can imagine.
I bet there is.
I know there's some people who are into balloons.
Balloon porn?
Well, they're just literally balloons. Well, not like... Not euphemism for breasts.
No,
like,
no, no. Well, the people are...
They're like, ooh, look at that balloon.
And I bet there's a... it's 5... Oh, I don't know.
It's 5:55. You're listening to... the Geekatorium presents on the FUBAR radio.
We're talking balloon porn.
We are talking absolute balloon porn.
We've got a caller on the line now.
Oh, hello.
You missed the caller, Graham. He was good value.
He was 5 hours ago. Graham, where are you?
Yeah, Graham.
Are you still there, Graham?
I wish he was.
I'd like someone to phone him.
I'd like to say, I think this is incredible that FUBAR gives me and giving airtime to balloon porn.
Balloon porn.
Eli seems very knowledgeable on the subject, and I'd like to thank him for raising awareness, and along with Comic Relief.
I'm also into sneezing.
Sneeze and balloon porn. I wonder what the weirdest two things that go together are in that sort of thing.
Well, I think you can have an endless combination.
It's the
stuff you're into.
It's lovely, isn't it? It's the right swatch up. Is that a thing? Switch up, I've got.
It's a switch up. It's a mash up. A mash up of perversions.
Mash up perversions. That sounds like a death metal band.
That'd be a good death metal band.
Perversion mash up.
That'd be great. That's something we should do in the next. Well, you're going
in the next
half an hour.
In the next 18 hours.
Yeah, oh, it's not 18 hours, is it? It is, isn't it? Woo! Reality.
I feel like I've done the graveyard shift.
You have. You've been great, Ash. Thanks for helping us out on this. Seriously,
I think the sun is beginning to
No, not for an hour, I think.
You're going to love it. Once the sun starts rising, it's
so
going
to gonna
be...
So you're going to have... you're gonna. What's your plan? You're going to do some parenting?
I'm going to do some parenting. I'm going to go swimming. There's a chance I'm going to drown.
You're not going to sleep at all before then?
I can't.
It's and you're okay with that?
No, you?
I'm not okay with anything.
Children, he won't... That no, he's not going to do that. If I go home and go, right, son, I'll start parenting you this afternoon, but in the meantime, I'm going to get 8 hours.
He's not going to go for that.
He's not going to go for that. I'm going to have to parent, and then when he goes to bed at, like, 8, I'm just going to go to sleep then. I think that's the way forward.
Well, when you go to bed at 8, we'll still have 3 hours left.
I would love to have come and seen the end of it with you, but again, I'm not going to do that.
That's okay.
But it's been lovely. I mean, I'm not gone yet. I've still got half hour yet.
I know. You got Paul. We're coming up to the hour.
That's exciting.
So I'm just getting a bit nervous because I have to do all the techie stuff here.
No, I think you're going to be fine.
The producer, he's not. He's looking at me.
He's got firm belief in you. I can see that.
He's confident. So we're going to play. Which is the longer one? Ah, number two.
Yeah, it's definitely number two.
And that goes down, and then we're going to have a tune. And the tune I've selected, I Could Be So Good For You, theme tune
by Dennis Waterman.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It's a good one, yeah.
Well, I've enjoyed the last half hour, Eli.
I think we did all right, didn't we?
I think we were relentless, if nothing else.
We kept talking.
Yeah, we did.
We certainly kept talking.
I felt like you glazed over 3 times.
I did sort of glaze. I mean, come on. This is my 5th Red Bull.
That's too much.
I'm getting Red Bull belly.
Red Bull belly. And how's that going to manifest itself?
In a terrible cramping, crippling cramping pain. Here we go. It's a countdown.
So what, you're just going to press 2?
At the hour, I'll press 2 and then... Soon after that, you'll be listening to the sounds of Dennis Waterman.
Oh, good luck, mate.
With the theme tune that he sung and wrote for Minder.
Will you be playing the other Dennis Waterman classics?
Like?
On the Up.
Is that really a tune he did?
Maybe I will laugh, maybe I will beg. Maybe she will buy a dress straight off the peg.
I think you've covered it enough there, Ash.
Are you pressing number 2?
This 2, is it this 2?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
FUBAR Radio presents the Geekatorium 27-hour podcast challenge, raising money for comic relief. Donate now by going to my.redneseday.com/sponsor/Geekatorium27podcast. FUBAR and Geekatorium, doing something stupid for a very good cause.